Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 729, recorded on July 16th, 2024. My name is Martin Spriggs. This is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. So glad you decided to join us once again. And joining me once again, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
I'm Martin. Happy to be joining you. Happy for halfway through summertime already. It seems like it's flying by.
Yeah. You've already had some trips. I know I've had some trips, right? So it's been a busy summer so far.
That's true. And we've had a busy summer on Wells Tech, talking to people from all across the world and all different areas of ministry service and support and that kind of thing. And today is no different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were able to have a neat conversation with Pastor Ben Workentine from St. Mark in Green Bay, Wisconsin. As you mentioned, Sally, it's been kind of an interesting mix of people that we're talking to in all kind of different areas of ministry and responsibilities, and how they're using technology in particular. And the conversation with Ben really focused around digital citizenship. We came across his presentation to the Northern Wisconsin District, probably back in June. I don't know the exact dates, but thought that that would be a great topic to bring up here, and it was. So why don't we take a listen to that interview with Ben, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit. We are really happy to have Pastor Ben Workentine from St. Mark in Green Bay and DePere joining us on the podcast. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
We got wind that you did a very relevant and interesting, I'm sure, to our listeners, presentation up at the Northern Wisconsin District Convention titled On Digital Citizenship. And some of the topics that you explore there are very relevant, I think, in a digital world as we try and figure out what that means for ministry and what that means for our ministers and those people who share the gospel. So thought it'd be great to have you on and talk a little bit about what you presented there. So thanks for joining us. Maybe before we dive into the topic, introduce yourself a little bit, where you're serving, families, hobbies, anything you want to share to get our audience a little bit better idea of who Ben Workentine is.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this. I think, you know, the world we live in, maybe in general, in church world, we're kind of a decade or two behind. And this is one that I think we do well to think deeply, theologically, and clearly on. So I'm a pastor of a multi-site church up here in northern Wisconsin, Green Bay and DePere. One of the pastors on staff. I was my first call out of seminary. I graduated seminary in 2014. Was assigned as the district president assistant for the Pacific Northwest. So I was in Boise, Idaho. That was not determined yet. So my call day packet was like three pieces of paper that basically said, you're going to live somewhere, you're going to do something, and we're going to pay you some amount.
Yep.
And I'm watching as all my classmates have their packets and they're unpacking them and looking at them. I'm like, I read mine in about 3 minutes. So that was exciting. Yeah. But I'm a pastor's kid, world missionary kid. MLC and seminary, I took 2 years out, served in China, taught English there. And so really, you know, kind of started seeing that was the great firewall of China. I sat behind that, especially at the crackdown. I remember of the April 4th, 2008, it was a crackdown of Tiananmen Square protests 20 years after. And so this has always been a topic. How we use social media has always been a topic of interest to me. Because it serves, it's a great opportunity for evangelism. And we sit kind of on the cusp of, it feels like we're embarking on a whole new continent that has risen beneath our feet full of 5.6 billion users, daily users, who don't know the gospel, who are far from it. And so getting to leverage that. I get to raise three little boys, 8, 3, and 1. My wife and I have been married for 10 years. And she works now for the seminary in the continuing ed department, the Growing Grace. So she's in many ways more deeply connected to Wells people than I am. But glad to be here today.
That's awesome. Happy to learn all that neat background. What a great set of skills and experience you bring into the ministry. And you said, you know, you've had hands-on experience with a lot of neat interaction or lack thereof with the internet. What is it in 2024 that prompted this topic, and where did you get started? How does digital citizenship, you know, how does that affect us? What does that mean? Where did you start?
Yeah. There? Yeah. Thanks. So it really started as, I joked when I gave the presentation that, they asked me to do it 'cause I'm under 40. it's not exactly what they said, but I turn the joke around on them because I think I post on social media, me personally, less than 30 times a month. So I'm pretty rarely on social media. I'm more of a lurker. I use it as a learning device. I follow a lot of stories, creators, content, those kinds of things. But the digital citizenship idea came out of, especially this year, with a national election here in the United States for president and everything else, we're really talking a lot about dual citizenship, this God's kingdom and then his other kingdom. And it just occurred to me as I've read papers and we've been publishing on that, it occurs to me that we actually have a third kingdom that we are now citizens of that is just as real, just as impactful, just as pronounced in our lives. Our interactions with it, both it on us and us on it. And it's this digital world that transcends physical boundaries, transcends a single government. And I think if you start looking at, it's interesting if you look all the way back to Luther and those who wrote after him about this two kingdom concept, they never really define the physical kingdom. You won't find like this checkbox. Because it was so clear, so it was so apparent. You lived in this country or that duchy or, you know, whatever. And so we've had to be more precise on that. And I think when you start laying out what the checkboxes are for a physical kingdom, a government, a lot of them, you might even see, I think I make the case that all of them are actually checked off by a digital citizenship. And if that's going to be the way we think about this, especially social media world, internet and social digital, all things are much larger than social media, but social media in particular, when you start to have this heuristic, this way of thinking about it, as if you're a citizen of a kingdom, it forces us to grapple with what kinds of things do I post? What kinds of things do I share? What is my role in participating in a healthy kingdom, healthy dialogue? And it means I'm constrained as a Christian to participating in ways that build up God's kingdom, his ultimate and eternal kingdom, and using this as a way to do that.
Ben, because the Holy Spirit worked through writers who were who lived in and wrote in a very different world than maybe we are today, does that cause you to have to look harder or work harder at finding biblical principles that apply? Is that a challenge, or is it a very natural thing? Has God made that easy for us to do?
Yeah, I think the principles are draw from wisdom in these larger ideals of, you know, ultimately go and make disciples of all nations. We have that capability within each individual person in a way that no one else in history has ever had. The fact that I could, in one moment, be texting with a buddy of mine that still lives in China, and the very next moment, mentoring a young woman in South Africa, as she hosts Mormon missionaries in her house and how to share her faith there. I can span the globe in the course of in minutes. You know, I can close one and open the next conversation in the flat blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. That's never existed. You've had to get on a boat or you've even an airplane. You've had to go and you've, you know, it's a half of a day of travel just to get to a different country. Now with this online space, especially with social media. So we're, I think we're applying a lot of the same principles. The presentation I gave, the paper I gave is not some new exegetical study of passages with this new, it's just applying them in a very different world. And I think this is what we've been lacking is we've kind of hived off social media and online as if we don't need to think about them in the same ways with the same principles and same ideals, same mission that we've thought about so carefully about other arenas. And I get it. The online world has developed at a breakneck speed. I mean, the fact that we're talking about artificial intelligence, quantum computing, these small form nuclear reactors, like we're talking about things that a generation ago were unthinkable. So I get that it's fast, but it means we need to be and we need to be thinking about it and inviting people who maybe have more experience. I'm not the most experienced social media user, but inviting those who are more experienced to help us think well about those things. And really be asking questions that maybe we've been slow to ask. How does this come across? When I post this, how do you read that? What is that? Mm-hmm. How does that strike you? Does that build an opportunity for the gospel or does it close a door? I think already, at least in the American culture, the Christian church, its greatest enemy, I don't think is atheism. I think it's apathy. In other words, what does the Christian church have to do with real life? And we risk feeding into that narrative by how we steward our social media presence.
So, you're speaking to a varied audience. We talked about that a little bit beforehand, called workers, lay leaders, just normal old Christians. Where do we go as we wrestle with these things? Are there some definitive guidelines or rules that we should be living by? I mean, what did you learn in your research?
Yeah, that's a good question. So some guidelines or principles. I don't have hard and fast rules. There's no 10 commandments of how a Christian uses the internet or uses social media. But I do think there's some things that we have to ask ourselves that are kind of incumbent on us and then invite in some accountability because I'm not always the best gauge for my own use of social media. So who can I ask? To bounce this off of or get feedback. Because what happens, especially one of the guiding principles or one of the guiding questions that was originally asked of me is pastors, and I'm talking to you guys here. We have blurred the line between church and state in our social media. We have participated in polarized discussions about public policy and figures. In a way that has sacrificed and undermined our witness into the world. And I get that pastors, you know, and really anybody who wears the name of Christ, it may seem unfair. Well, social media is a free market of economy of ideas. We can post whatever we want. It's a place where we can be absolutely free. And to a certain extent, that's true. But as Paul encourages the Corinthians, those who are strong in the faith willingly constrain themselves for the sake of those who are weak or new to the faith. Mm-hmm. And so when I have, you know, at our church here at St. Mark, we're trying to reach Gen Z, people who have a very different political view from the generations that happened before them. So if I post something political, even if it's my personal page, they conflate, and maybe unfairly so, that's not the point. They conflate my personal views with the church's views. And if we're out of sync, if they see their own political views as out of sync with the church's views, I never get a chance to share the gospel. So I've got kind of four thoughts on what are some litmus tests or what are some schematics that I can use in order to best build a bridge for the gospel, because that's my ultimate goal. I don't really care. Ultimately, I don't care how you vote. I don't care what social media platform you use. I don't care what color your hair is. I care that we share heaven. That's my goal. So how do I get to the place where I can share the gospel? And I kind of term them this way. One is the office wall test. For pastors, your office wall. For church leaders, think of the sign that you put out in front of church. If you wouldn't post it there, don't put it on your social media page. Think of it as your office instead of your living room or your, you know, your bathroom magazine that you read that nobody's ever going to see. Think of it as your office wall. Would you post it there? Would you put it up? I've got, in my presentation, I had a whole list of case studies, and it was not hard for me to find social media posts from Wells Ministerium ministers, Wells leaders that were political in nature. And I kind of want to ask the question, would you put this up in your office? Because if not, then don't put it there. So office wall test, number one. Number two is the time test. And I kind of term it this way. I've changed. I hope I've changed since 10 years ago, since 5 years ago, since 3 years ago. I've changed not the gospel, but I've changed how I think about things, the information that I have, my positions on things. I want to post in such a way that I give myself room to change again. On things like the gospel itself, I can post because that's timeless. I can post about that all day long and not feel ashamed. You know, 15 years from now, I'm still going to agree that it is by grace alone, through faith alone. I'm still going to agree with those. So I can post that all day long. But there are a lot of other things that I've changed my hobbies, my ideas, where I think the best place to live, my favorite college football team, all that stuff. It changes. And I want to give myself time, give myself space to change, so that 5 years from now, I'm not having to go back and say, like, what idiot posted this? Oh, I guess I'm the idiot. I posted that. So that's a time test. Give yourself time. Truth test is the third one. And the idea here is not, is it true? Is it not true? That's kind of beside the point. Does this post build a bridge to testifying to the truth? Because here's where I think we've gotten a little bit lost is a truth, if it stands in front of the truth, still obscures the truth. And it's a thought truth that I want to give witness to. So is this thing that I'm posting, it can be a recipe, it can be a cat video, it can be the latest meme. Does it build a bridge to build it to witnessing to the truth? Does it spark curiosity in someone to say, why would you post that? Or what's behind that? How can you be so calm? That's the question I want to ask. Does it build a chance for me to witness to the truth? And then the last one that I have is generational test. And this, I just kind of challenge anybody who's posting and who in some way, even to a small number of people, might represent Christ in the church. Would your grandfather and your grandson, in my case, grandmother, granddaughter, would they also post this? Would they say a hearty amen to it? And I'm not asking, like, when I become a grandmother, I'm a father now. When I become a grandfather, I'll like it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying my grandfather now, my grandson now, would they say yes? Because a lot of times we miss that generations they communicate in different terminology, in different ways. Things come across differently based on your age, your phase of life. And I want to be able to share Christ with those of every generation. That's the whole point. And so if I'm using language that doesn't communicate clearly across generations, if I'm bringing up ideas that my favorite example of this right now is the whole post about, whether or not to forgive college debt, the federal government should eliminate college debt, forgive college debt. Understand that that's talking about real people who you are witnessing to, you want to bring into the congregation, people who are in your congregation, who are feeling buried by $150,000 of college debt, and they have no idea how they're going to get out of it except to die. And that's where some young people are right now. So if I put up a post that says they're not forgiving college debt, they're transferring it to you, that may be, again, go back to the truth test. It may be true. I don't know that it necessarily is, but it may be true. But it's also using language that pushes away a different generation. And so I'm just encouraging through those four tests, the office wall test, time test, truth test, generation test, filter through those things that I might want to share, might want to comment on, might want to post, might want to say, so that I'm not putting up artificial barriers to the gospel. The gospel is already offensive. It doesn't need it, my help, to be difficult for people to grasp. I just don't want it to be my fault that there's an obstacle. I want to be as clear as I can. And I think those kinds of things can help bring wisdom to the conversation that happens on social media. And honestly, right now, wisdom on social media, those are almost oxymoronic. It'd be nice to bring those, be kind of the place where those two things are brought together. Maybe the church, maybe Wells Orthodox Christianity can be the place where the two are brought together. And that wouldn't be such a bad thing to be known for.
Yeah, very practical advice and a good practical approach to kind of looking at what you're doing online. And really, as you're talking, I was thinking, boy, this isn't just digital citizenship. This is, there's a missiological flavor, to all that we do. But now it's amplified. The magnifying glass or the telescope is out. And what social media does is it really does that. And if you are an ambassador, you are an ambassador, for your Savior. And as Paul said, and maybe as you mentioned too, that we have opportunities to be, as we should be, sensitive to the people and the mission, that we are about, not just as a church, but as a disciple of Christ. So again, you said nothing new, and that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. In a personal conversation, whether that's face to face or online, all these things also apply, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so great. How was your paper or your presentation received? What kind of feedback did you get?
Yeah, I had some really good questions afterwards, within the context of the conversation. I had some really heart-to-heart conversations with people, not at the microphone, not in the Q&A session, mm-hmm. but actually afterward, just saying, man, I'm living this. I've had, I had a brother in Christ come up to me, a brother in the ministry come up to me and say, I had a member come to me with 17 talking points from the conservative agenda that he wants me to be working into my mm-hmm. sermons. Man, well, that's
right.
Like we've
what do you do with that? Yeah.
I mean, those are the kinds of places that people are at. I've had, I had a conversation with a lay leader at his congregation saying, I've had family that have suffered from infant loss. That's part of my wife and I's story too. We've suffered with infant loss, and my son-in-law, who's not all that connected with church, struggles to, they're just leaders at their church and he struggles with connection. He's found a community, that's online about dads who have lost a baby. And they meet every week. They're consistent. They've opened up with each other. And these are the kinds of conversations I think sometimes we've missed. And, this post COVID, this discussion that we've been kind of having of, live stream your service? Do you not live stream your service? Can you actually find community? Well, you can't take the Lord's Supper. And there are people who are desperate for connection that don't find it, for a variety of reasons, don't find it in the narthex on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, those kinds of people are the ones that I want to be thoughtful about. I want to be sensitive to, and so we had a really good discussion about, it's maybe not a substitute for in-person embodied community, because God has made us human creatures with a corporal body that you can touch and hug and cry with and hold and shake hands with. So it's not a substitute, but it certainly is an addition and a strengthening of, and can really help people who are maybe missing that connection. So really, really good conversations with people who are wrestling with these same kind of questions and wanting to provide for people, especially those who are outside the church who have no memory of the gospel. Let's be honest, it's a growing number of Americans mm-hmm. have no memory of the gospel. How can we be a place where they can ask questions, they can find help, they can kind of explore and ask these questions that get them to the place where they meet Jesus? What greater honor is that? And I don't want to push anybody away for any reason, whether it's a platform preference or a content preference. I want to be able to provide that Jesus to everybody.
Awesome reminder. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm just thinking about how easy it is to react and how quickly we can react mm-hmm. and how long those reactions live mm-hmm. and the impact that they make. I think that's just a great reminder for all Christians, certainly for Christian leaders. And really appreciate you putting those thoughts together. We'll have some a link in the show notes to your paper if people want to dive in deeper. And yeah, your tests are just excellent to keep in mind before you hit enter to send that message, huh?
Right, right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for your time and your work there at St. Mark, and your work beyond that as you're trying to bring to light some things that we really ought to think about, and the thoughtful approach that we need to maybe all areas of our life, and those that have, we think may not have as much impact as they probably do. So appreciate your thoughts there and your work and your ministry too. Blessings on that.
Yeah. It's been a good conversation. Thanks for having it. I pray, you know, for whoever's listening, if there's some way that I can help you, come alongside you. I feel like a little bit of a voyager in this, kind of a, you know, on the, maybe not the very front of the conversation, but towards the front. And I think it's good for us to kind of be working together and collaborating on, hey, what about this? I've tried that, you know, if I can be helpful in any way, please reach out. I'm happy to answer questions and walk through stuff. And maybe even you've got different tests that you use or different philosophies. That's awesome. Let's bring the best that we can to God's people, so the God's kingdom can grow.
Thanks again, Ben. Thank you, Ben, for your time and your work at St. Mark in Green Bay, and your willingness to share the good stuff that you did at that conference and ongoing. I think it's an important topic.
Yeah, one of the notes that I took during our discussion was the mic is live all the time. You know, Martin and I sit in front of microphones to record this podcast. And, you know, it seems like a public thing, and that we want to be truthful and accurate and that kind of thing as we are representing Wells doing this podcast. But that's true for each and every one of us, not only when you're sitting in front of a professional microphone, but in all that you do and say. And I think that's just a great reminder. If you're not willing to put it on your office wall, then don't say it online.
Yeah, very much living out loud. And I think the point is a good one to remind ourselves of, that we are called to be proclaimers, messengers, and everything that we say and do representative. It should be representative of our faith and our relationship with our Savior. So great reminder and good content. And I think we will share, I'm assuming, in the links, the stuff that was put together for the conference too. So
yeah, we'll definitely have a link in the show notes to his paper for people to dig into as well.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, next time we'll be talking with somebody else. We're not going to share who yet, because we're still, I think, working on that. But I think these have been really enjoyable conversations over the summer. So something I'm really enjoying. Definitely. I think it's time for our picks of the week, Sally.
Well, my pick of the week has to do with bingo, Martin. I don't know about you, but I've been playing bingo this summer. Actually, I played bingo with my family this weekend. It's a really fun game to sit around the table and just laugh and compete with bingo. It was my father-in-law's birthday. But on Wells Tech, I've been playing professional development bingo, where I'm trying to fill in my bingo card with all kinds of new learning opportunities this summer. And most recently, I spent time on the website Printify, which is a print on demand website. So I wanted to share a little bit about what I've learned there. This wasn't one on the default Ditch That Textbook summer professional development bingo, but I think it has a place for people to consider if they're looking for logo or branded merchandise for their church or school or organization. So Printify is a way to create, using your logo, you know, custom products. And they have actually over 900 products in their catalog that you can put your logo on for all different reasons. So I'm actually logged in on the site and just wanted to do a quick demo. I threw the Wells Tech logo on a t-shirt, and just in their catalog, I should show you their catalog before we're done, but there's literally, just for plain old t-shirts, there's probably 20 options that you can choose from. Just all kinds of different t-shirts. And then once you pick one, depending on what vendor is the printer and what type of options they have, you can pick different colors to include in your store as you're selling that t-shirt. And it'll show you a little bit of a demo of what that might look like. As you're picking them, and literally just kind of easy to select boxes and have different options. And then you also have the ability to pick different sizes that are available. So if you don't want to make certain sizes available or whatever, those are options as well. They have t-shirts in adult sizes, of course, but they also have youth, toddler, and infant sizes for, you know, covering the entire family with your church logo, if that's your desire. And there's even some nice preview pictures that you can make use of and as you're showing the images and what they might look like in the different colors and things like that. Just really easy to work with, click and display and download images and all kinds of things so that you can show the things in whatever storefront you want to put it in. It does link up with all kinds of different storefronts. So if you have, you know, some kind of a vendor shop, it's easy to link up with that. But you could also use it just on a Wix website or a Squarespace website or something like that. You can integrate it with a lot of different tools that are out there. And what's cool about it is you display the merchandise in your store. People order it and they take care of everything else. So it's totally print on demand. When the order is placed, they print it and they ship it for you. And they give you the prices all throughout the process. And you can add whatever profit margin you want. If you don't want any profit margin, you can sell them at cost. It's up to you, but you have complete control to the penny of whatever profit margin you'd want to add. And like I said, the catalog is just full of options. So not just clothing options for all different ages, but all kinds of accessories and things like golf balls and phone cases and home decor and towels and car accessories. The list goes on and on. So if you're looking and maybe haven't done it in the past, maybe you have a new logo for your church or school and want to set up something with some logo merchandise, this would be a really easy way to do that. You can upload any kind of imagery to include it on the items you want to do branding on. And again, the site is Printify. The prices with shipping of some of the least expensive t-shirts are around maybe $14 to $15. So very affordable, including shipping and everything.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you wanted to round it up to $20 or something and make $5 off of each one of them as part of some kind of fundraiser or whatever, you could do that as well. So lots of different options and ways to go with Printify. So
okay.
Thought I'd share that.
How did you run across this?
Oh, I was just playing with some AI images of my own, which I'm going to have an AI selection for imagery soon. And I just wanted to put it on a t-shirt. My husband actually got it in the mail yesterday and it turned out really good. Believe it or not, it had a llama on it. So
really? Very nice. And yeah, the interface looks super easy. It's very approachable. And if the prices are good, boy, why not give it a try?
The overall price to use it is zero. So you can start with just a completely free account. They do have a premium account for super sellers that you can pay $25 a month and get a 20% discount off of all the products. But that would take a long time to reach the place where that would be affordable. But no cost to you. You can go out, create an account, create all your products, build your store, and just let them handle all the orders. So great way to go.
Okay. All right. My turn. My pick of the week is a hardware pick and something that I can't believe I have not picked before, but in doing a search on our good old Wells Tech website, I did not find them. So AirPods from Apple are something that I use probably almost every day. In fact, I'm using one at this very moment. So anytime that I'm sitting down to watch something on my computer or iPad or do a podcast or listen to a podcast while I'm mowing the lawn or whatever, I have an AirPod in my ear. And I've tried I can't tell you even how many that I've tried over the years, different brands, you know, Sony's and Bose and whatever, in the search of the kind of the perfect combination of price and quality and sound canceling features and whatever. And I've really never found anything quite as good or fits quite as well as Apple AirPods. Now, the ones I use are the AirPods Pro. Second generation. I think they're probably due for an upgrade at some point. But I think with the technology that they put in here, and if especially if you're an Apple user, if you have an iPhone, kind of a no-brainer to go with these. Now I know some of the non-Pro versions, which don't have the silicone tip in them, don't always fit, so they kind of sit in your ear. Don't always fit for everybody. So your mileage may vary, but I've had really good luck with all the ones that I've ever owned, and I've owned probably three generations now since we've started. And one of the nicest feature, as far as I'm concerned, is that noise canceling capability, so that I can actually put these in while I'm mowing, and I don't need the big ear cups to cancel out the noise of the mower, which mine is extremely loud. These work great on the airplane, or just generally when you want to watch something that maybe your spouse or family members aren't that interested in, and they're playing something else on the TV. So this is a great alternative to that. I would say the latest versions, the AirPods Pro, come with a rechargeable wireless case. You know, you can recharge them wirelessly, or use USB-C, so you don't have to deal with the old Apple connector. The like is it Lightning Thunder? I forget. Lightning connector, I think it is. And they've got a Find My feature in case you lose one. They'll make a little sound if you can't find them. Up to 30 hours listening. Just a nicely engineered and well done product. So can't recommend them highly enough. And it's something I use probably every day in some way, shape, or form. So, like I said, I can't believe I'd never picked these before, but kind of a must-have for me. If I lost these or they stop working, that would be an easy click and rebuy kind of a scenario. So that is my pick of the week.
Do you know the price point, Martin, off the top of your head?
If you click the buy button there, Sally, up at the top right, the little blue button, that will give it to you. And I think it is $249 for the pro
249.
version. Yeah. But the regular versions are less, of course. So but in for my money, it's a no-brainer.
All right. So here's something you can look forward to as I'm scrolling the page. It says there's going to be a new hands-free Siri experience.
Yes.
So you get a phone call while you're working out, and it'll say, "Do you want to answer?" And you can just shake your head no. And
Or
Siri will know that you
yes.
shook your head no. How about that?
Yeah. The lady in the box or whatever, we're probably setting off Siri's all over the world here.
Yeah, no, I'm looking.
We have a love-hate relationship, so I'm not sure
If you'll be
how
shaking
well
her
this is
head.
going to work. Yeah, normally I'll be shaking my head at her or fist, but we'll see. She's supposed to be getting smarter, so the last Worldwide Developer Conference, they were touting Apple Intelligence, which is going to hopefully up Siri's game, but we'll see.
Okay, verdict's still out. We'll have to shake your
Yeah.
head at it one way or another.
Exactly. So, all right, we should probably get along with the rest of the show here if I can find my notes. Community feedback.
Yeah, I had one thing to share. This is from a friend of the show, Pastor Dan Sprain. He is out in Fargo, North Dakota, and I had the pleasure of worshiping there a couple of weeks ago over 4th of July weekend. We were doing some family time with our North Dakota family, and went to his church, which is Living Shepherd there in Fargo. And he mentioned to me that he was thinking about Wells Tech. So to see me walk in was kind of serendipitous or whatever, but he's been using a new tool called Glue, Gloo, the internet spelling apparently, Gloo.us, US. And he's using it specifically for their free text messaging. He was very impressed with it. And the price tag, of course, is right in line with everything that we like to spend on Wells Tech, that free price tag. I don't have a lot of feedback from Pastor Sprain because he was still trying it out. One thing he said was there were some templates that maybe he wouldn't make use of. It is geared for churches specifically, but maybe not quite in alignment with our theology and our understanding of God's word. So he wanted to make sure, you know, before he gave his full endorsement of glue, especially the messaging part, that he fully vetted it. But I thought it was worth a mention on the show. Maybe someone's looking for something in that slot and you'd want to try that out. And if we hear more from Pastor Sprain about his experience, we'll certainly share it as well. But definitely worth the money that you would spend on it to spend a little time figuring it out and seeing if it can do text messaging for you. According to their site, they provide a number for you to use for the messaging, and you can even do scheduling and automation of messages that you want to send out. And then it'll integrate with other tools that you're already using. I see a MailChimp and Salesforce icon on there, lots of different tools that it integrates it with as well. So if you do use Glue or if you try it out and have some feedback, we'd love to hear from you over at wellstech.wells.net. We have all kinds of ways for you to share your feedback so we can have it in the community feedback section. There's lots of social networks that we're on that you can message us through, or we have good old-fashioned email as well as voicemail available, again, at wellstech.wells.net.
Very nice. And that was Glue, GLOO.us in traditional internet naming fashion. So good stuff. Yeah, if you're looking for some simple text messaging options, just a reminder that anybody with a Church 360 account with our friends at Concordia Technology Solutions, you do have texting built into your plan as well. It's not the full-featured solution that we just talked about here with Glue. But it does manage your text conversations and allows you to text your members through that database. So, and all is a part of the price or the package that you've got. So
nice.
We talked with them a couple weeks back about that too.
Right.
So.
Rob Davidson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. I think that's about it for this show, Sally. As we teased, we will have another summer tech talk the next time we gather. And you already put a plug in for the for ways to communicate with us. And I would reemphasize that that is just a neat thing when we get those messages and get to explore different things and hear users' experiences with some of the tools we've already talked about or things that we've never even heard of. So it's pretty cool. All right, Sally, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in once again. We really do appreciate you making the decision to spend some time with us, and we hope you do that again. Have a great week. Bye-bye.